Page builders offer a quick and easy way to create WordPress websites. However, even this blissful way of building websites has the other side laden with problems. Once you finalize on the big question of selecting a specific page builder, the follow-up is about dealing with profound issues on the correct way of using that page builder. A streamlined and consistent workflow is essential for efficient website building with page builders. Helping you take the stress out of the workflow questions, here is Dave Foy for you for your no stress introduction to website building with page builders. So let's welcome Dave on the show and get started.
Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Davinder. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for having me. I wanted to be on your podcast for a long time. So it's a dream come true.
Awesome. I love making people's dream come true. So. Okay, so before we get on with the problems, page builders, workflow, and how to streamline and stitch all those things together, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Yeah, no problem. So I'm Dave. Hi, Dave Foy. I live in the UK, if you couldn't tell that already. I teach people, I've done this for nearly three years now. I teach people how to use WordPress and Elementor to build websites that get results and to build those websites faster and more confidently and more profitably. And I kind of teach people, I very much focus on Elementor as the page builder, as kind of like the core of my system, which I think Davinder and I are probably going to talk about a bit as we have a chat. I support students partly by making, like free videos and free training and free webinars and things. But I've also got a couple of courses as well. No Stress WordPress and No Fear Funnels.
Awesome. So let's dive into the world of page builders as if it wasn't enough. Talk about page builders. We're going to talk more about it. So now I've spent almost 5 years in Genesis StudioPress ecosystem building websites using, manual PHP, CSS, CodePlay. And during that period, I would honestly say I would always look down upon page builders. Hey, I'm a developer. I play with code. How can I use a page builder? But when I started using, page builders like Beaver Builder, my perception was kind of busted at that time. And then came the decision to, get into the page builder ecosystem because I really felt that it actually saved me time and helped me build faster. Now, is this a common problem among dev-centric folks? And has this been your story as well?
Oh, this is my story. Absolutely. Perfectly. I built my first website in like 1998, I think it was, a long time ago. And at the time there were a few tools basically you were supposed to build websites with HTML. So if you didn't know how to use HTML, and then a little bit later on CSS came along as well as an option. So you were pretty much stuck. If you didn't want to learn the code, you had to use tools like FrontPage and Dreamweaver and Go Live, I think there was. And there's a few other different things which were fairly terrible, really. And even then were really hard to use. So when I decided to become a web designer and decided I wanted to run my own web design freelance business, I learned how to just code, with HTML, learned how to use CSS. And then the CMS systems that I was using at the time, like Expression Engine was one of them. You pretty much had to learn, you had to know how to code. You had to know how to write sort of PHP and these kind of fancy template languages. And that's just, I didn't really know anything else. Now, I worked with other people on web projects, like designers and like marketers and people involved with the advertising and the promotion and the copywriting and all kinds of things. And the problem always was that I was the bottleneck. I was the bottleneck in every single project. And at the time, it was accepted that that was the thing. Oh, we've got we've created a beautiful design. We've got a brilliant idea for a marketing campaign. We want to run some ads to a landing page. Excellent. When can we do it? Can we do it now? No. I would look in my calendar and see when my next available slot was to build the thing. And, you know, we'd be talking like 2 weeks or maybe longer. So I was the bottleneck in people being able to just be able to get results faster. And, you know, to actually to be able to use the web for, you know, not to have to rely on professionals and experts to be able to do it. And I certainly didn't have the snobbery that I do see in some of my developer friends even now.
Exactly.
Yeah, they didn't want anything to do with WordPress or any of these page builders.
Forget about page builders. They actually look down upon WordPress as also like
WordPress itself. Oh god, yeah. Oh yeah, forget even the page builders. Yeah, and that, which is fine. And the kind of things that they work on, perfect. You know, choose your tools, enjoy them, go for it.
Okay.
Now my worry always was about. It's great that, well, I'll tell you, I actually, the reason I page builders even were on my radar ever was because it was probably about 2013. I'd actually started using WordPress myself and I was using Genesis myself as well. And, you know, writing hooks and writing CSS and building things basically from scratch, but with the Genesis framework. And so we were using WordPress more and more and more in the teams I was working with, but I noticed, and I was a little bit annoyed really when I did find this out, I noticed that all these people I was working with, like the marketer guy, like the designer guys, they were going behind my back and they were actually building their own landing pages and these kind of like little like pages for to run ads to and funnels and new homepage ideas for site. They were doing it behind my back. Because they just couldn't kind of wait for me to do it. So they were using tools variously, like, you know, Visual Composer, like Divi, like Aveda, like various other, you know, drag and droppy type things. And my reaction at the time was, oh, I mean, you're setting yourself up for a maintenance nightmare, you know.
Yeah.
What they were doing was basically just building every single page completely standalone.
Yeah,
and then they build another page standalone and another page standalone and that kind of thing. But the beauty of it was the designer could design whatever he liked and it looked great. The marketing guy could create a landing page in 30 minutes and have it live and have ads running to it. So the clients were delighted. We were doing much better because we were far more profitable as a business because we were turning projects around far, far faster. And I suddenly realized that there is enormous, enormous potential here for anyone who wants to run a web design business, wants to build websites for their own businesses, wants to run marketing campaigns. I mean, the thousands of reasons people might want to use the web and use WordPress. And it was at that point that I realized, oh, this is actually incredible. So yeah, that was the point. And that was around about 2015, 16 kind of time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, once you decide to jump into page builder ecosystem, there's a big old devil waiting for you, deciding on which page builder to use. And there can be a lot of arguments. Oh, the page builder I use is the best one. Forget about yours. Now, when I started my page builder journey, I think I started using Site Origin Page Builder, which was really good, lean, but it never flourished with, you know, the richness the other page builders offer. Then I went Beaver Builder and I always stuck with Beaver Builder because it served for whatever, you know, things I used to build, although Elementor is all over the place. Everything has shine off Elementor these days. So how did you arrive on your decision to use the specific page builder? I guess that is Elementor in your case.
Yeah, it's Elementor in my case, definitely. I am the Elementor poster boy. I've even got a t-shirt somewhere. I actually landed on Elementor because of the teaching, actually, rather than because of the work. Mm-hmm. So the guys I was working with and ended up, you know, doing sites with were using Divi mostly, actually.
Another page builder. We all are cousins, right? Some get more love, some don't.
Yeah, I found Divi a nightmare personally, but So yeah, it was actually, when it came to the teaching, I was a teacher before I was a web designer. So 10 years before I even got into the web, I was a school teacher, which I loved. I mean, I absolutely loved teaching. And the only reason I left was because of, I didn't like the way that the education system was moving in terms of targets and the bureaucracy and the way that the government were, it was just the joy for teaching, the joy for children in education was being sucked out of the education system. And I thought, I just can't, this isn't why I got into teaching. But the urge to teach never left me, and it just kept coming back and coming, like tapping me on the shoulder. It's like, you should be teaching. Like, no, that's not what I do. So I did that for a long time. When I decided to teach and combine, you know, my experience with web design with teaching, I spent, literally 2 months researching every tool. I mean, not just WordPress as well, because what I wanted was to choose tools to teach that I thought best served my intended audience. I had no audience, zero. But the people that I intended to help, I had an idea roughly about who those kind of people might be. And so I had in mind, and I looked at all kinds of things. I even looked at like Wix and Squarespace and all kinds of systems, you know, just like weighing them up and pros and cons. I landed on WordPress very, very fast again. I mean, I really had no intention of using Wix. It's just, you know, but I landed on WordPress and I landed on Page Builders. I knew that I didn't want to use a tool that was kind of like a big all-in-one thing. So Divi was out. All these kind of like multi-purpose themes with drag and drop builders were out, because they were just, yeah. I think they're a nightmare. I think they promise so much, but they cause far, far too many problems. So I wanted something that was clean. I wanted a really clean theme. Mm-hmm. I actually came from like Genesis, you know, those kind of themes. So I ended up going with GeneratePress originally, although my feelings on themes at the moment are much, I don't know. I think the theme doesn't really matter as much anymore, but I ended up really just trialing in the end Beaver Builder and Elementor. And I could see that Beaver Builder was absolutely rock solid. Far, far kind of, even now, probably the better option for developers wanting to use Page Builders as part of their workflow. Certainly far more.
Yeah, you need to rub Beaver Builder to shine. Elementor is already shining. That's the only difference.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I gave Beaver Builder a really, really big shot. I actually used it on 3 projects. And then I noticed Elementor, it was mentioned at the bottom of a review of different page builders that I read as a newcomer that had a little bit of potential. This was the summer of 2016.
Yeah,
I think it was version 0.3 or something. I don't know.
It was a free version.
Yeah, it was.
Elementor actually blasted off with its free offering, actually.
Yeah. But it was, I found that it was, I don't know, there was just something about it. It was absolutely full of bugs. You know, it really didn't work properly very much. Yeah. Some people would say that nothing's changed. It's one of the things with Elementor that sometimes you cross your fingers with updates, you know, and have to hope for the best. But it is what I loved about it was the intuitiveness for designers. And it was actually designers that I first thought of teaching and focusing on. I don't anymore, but for various reasons. But it was kind of designers I was thinking this would be the most useful for. Mm-hmm. I used it and I ran it past, 5 different designers that I'd worked with in the past and who were friends, and said, just have a look at this. And they were inspired. I mean, they were so excited about Elementor in a way that none of the other tools were, you know, the simplicity, the power, the styling, the, you know, the fact that every single widget and area had the full suite of styling tools. You can add backgrounds and box shadows and margins and padding and everything on every single possible widget. But it was done in such a way, I thought, that also respected the UI and the user experience and the simplicity. And it didn't look like the kind of tool that would get bloated. It looked like they were kind of on the right track. And I just took a bit of a bet, to be honest. I took a bit of a bet and I thought, I'm not the kind of person who is into constantly swapping tools, constantly the FOMO of like trying out all sorts of different things.
And you mentioned that thing, like you need to cross your fingers when you update Elementor whether something will break. But then this is true for every tool, every page builder, in fact, because, and most of the time issues don't happen because of that page builder. It's because of some XYZ plugin that you've installed somewhere that has gone bad or never been updated. And, you know, it's not making your builder load and you come to the support shouting, oh, the builder is not loading.
Yeah, because the problem's in the builder, so therefore they are the problem.
Because builders do have a lot of dependency and files they load, and certain plugins do conflict, so which is true. Now, you know, I'm just rewinding a little bit. Now, when we used to have Genesis themes, we used to have widgets, defined widgets like home page, top, bottom, left, right, and we would have widget data and we will import it and everything would look good out of the box. You won't feel lost. Now with Page Builder, unless you're using a pre-made template and you start a page, it's like a blank screen. Obviously, a lot of options there, but those are all hidden unless you drag something on the screen. Now, isn't this an overwhelming introduction for new users?
I think sometimes it can be, actually. Again, as I was saying, when I first started using or teaching Elementor, I had in mind designers who already knew how to design. Mm-hmm. Didn't need any help with actually, you know, the creativity and the vision of what the page should look like. Mm-hmm. They just needed just to drag and drop it and put it together. So it wasn't something that I worried about too much, because I thought these guys they're used to a blank Photoshop document. You know, they're used to a blank, you know, whatever the graphics package is. And that's not really the problem. So surely they should be able to drag on, you know, like sections and widgets, which I think basically are like modules in Beaver Builder. But, and so that kind of thing didn't really bother me. And it was, I soon realized a few things. One, I had so many people saying to me, I really liked your video. I'm not actually a designer though. Is it all right? And I soon realized that people are using these tools for way more reasons than just because they've got a great design idea in their head. So I think that blank canvas thing, I know, What I often actually recommend to people these days is actually find like a trusted source of templates. There are loads of them in the Elementor template library. You know, if you're struggling with that blank canvas thing, there are all kinds of like third party Elementor template libraries now. You know, like the Landing Factory, the Style Kits for Elementor, which is brilliant. There's Envato's templates as well. The problem with even that, I think, is that it's great to be able to just import a template and job done. It's fine, but it's like, what do you do with that next? What do you do if you want to amend it in some way? What if you want to sort of like change the design? What if you want to kind of like, you know, maintain it and update it in future? What if you want to use that template across every post on your entire site? What, you know, there are these kind of things that I think page builders bring democracy to the web in terms of allowing everybody to be able to use it. But
and
I think
chaos.
In some ways, they bring their own problems as well.
Yeah.
You know.
And chaos also, because I'll come to that chaos in a bit. But before, you just answered that pre-made template question. So when you start building, do you prefer building on a blank canvas from scratch or just grab a pre-made template and then, you know, make changes when, say, building just a landing page, maybe for a course or some sales letter?
If it's me, I actually prefer to start from scratch, really. And the reason for that is because I want to make sure that I've actually set up, because I've got like a process, like a workflow that I follow when I'm building any website, really. Mm-hmm. Just because I know that if I do certain things at the beginning, my life is going to be so much easier and everything's going to just run smoother and be faster and I'll get the thing done quicker and it'll be easier to maintain and all that. So there are certain things I just like to set up. And one of the problems a little bit, there's nothing wrong with pre-made templates at all, but you can import them. And because they've not followed like your, maybe like the rules for sort of setting layouts, you know, like margins and paddings and things like that and widths or whatever, or they've not kind of not set Elementor up in the same way that you have. They've not got the same mindset or concept of how it, you know, it all fits together. I find sometimes you can end up almost doing as much work undoing everything again.
Yeah, because templates itself have hard-coded, you know, options for their own typographic flow. There are templates who will adapt to your parent settings, and that is what I'm coming next to, the chaos in the page builder ecosystem in terms of you know, options. Like if you rewind to Genesis days, we used to set everything in the Genesis, you know, settings, the fonts and the colors. Now it's just, it has shifted to customizer, but the basic concept remains the same, that any new page that you create will adapt to the font, that colors, that line height, everything, even padding and margins. But now when you launch a new page, obviously by default all the settings will come from customizer, but you have a big arsenal of options to destroy all the basic settings and, you know, go, hey, I've seen so many people do it. Like I've seen pages with 5-6 different fonts on a same page with different colors. Oh, this blue didn't look that good. Let me just reduce the shadow and all that. Now, isn't there should be a tame, you know, urge to tame this, you know, because in the end result isn't that consistent and it looks really way off. Even if you're building a landing page which is different from your website, will you still want it to look a little bit like your child? Like it shouldn't be altogether something different.
You want that same look and feel going through everything, through the entire brand. There's a friend of mine always says that you want everything to smell the same, which I think is a really nice little phrase. So you want the same smell about like the whole website, you know, just that same feeling that it's all part of the same thing. It is potentially a big problem, actually. It is partly a kind of like a workflow issue, I think, because people, if they don't understand that actually you can set a few things up in the beginning of the project to mean that you don't have to be tweaking this and that and the other. It is a problem that the fact that people can just change whatever they like. I think one way of stopping clients messing is to just make sure that they can't access the page builder editor, which means then you need to make sure that you kind of template as much as you can, you know, with single page templates, single post templates, your archive templates and all that kind of thing. Use custom fields, use custom post types, you know, rather than messing about in the editor itself. But I think you can also, there are a few things. I actually got an email the other day. In fact, I've had two emails now and I can't remember the company's name, but they brought out this thing for Elementor where you can, it's like an add-on that if you're in, say, like the buttons, so you're creating a button, so you've got the button widget, you drag the button onto the page and it will give you like a set of pre-made styles, like 5 or 6 or 10, I don't know. Some of them are like blue, some of them are big, some of them have got like a little fuzzy sort of shadow around them. The idea being that, oh, I've got one pre-made, boom. I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's just, I keep meaning to get back to them and say, I'm really sorry, I just don't like it. I think it's like the wrong thing.
Actually, I do the same thing, but I do with the code. Like I will define two button styles in a CSS code and dump it in the child theme of the file. And I'll just tell the customer, just add the button module, go to the CSS class, add button one, remove button, add button two. So its style will change. Whichever, I'm only going to define two buttons. So you can, this will be universal. The benefit of this is that I can change the styling and the, you know, stuff, everything from one place. I think there are a few plugins also that lets you define the universal color palette, but still there's a lot of confusion because a lot of things get controlled by the theme. And then you add a settings panel for the page builder. And then you have the module wise and the row wise settings. So it all gets, you know, mixed up.
It's like layers and layers and layers and layers, isn't it? Of all things competing with each other.
So when you build, like besides, of course, you know, setting the styling in the theme for the basic stuff like fonts and which page builder specific styling you use often that are not there in the theme. Do you recall a few?
Yeah. So what I do, I always say to people, like first turn off, there's a setting for Elementor's default fonts and colors. Mm-hmm. So that is where Elementor will actually load its own CSS basically for like global stuff, like certain kind of font sizes and colors and things like that. So I always say to people, number one job, turn those off, because at the time of recording anyway, the controls that Elementor itself give you to set those are like woefully inadequate. Like, they're just pointless. But the point is, your theme, unless you're using one of those really stripped down themes like Hello with the Elementor theme, which I actually don't recommend. But
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. I actually say to people, like, first, your theme is going to be loading styles anyway. And it's a good idea to make sure that you set those styles in the customizer to start off with, because that is going to trickle down through anything that you build with the theme, anything you build with Elementor. So it's going to trickle down and that's it. And then I actually teach people then to, there are certain things in Elementor that you just don't have to touch from that point onwards. But then I teach people that, well, A, you can set classes. So you can set up some really, really simple CSS and set classes for like alternative section background colors or like certain button styles, or I mean, there's quite a few things like that. Mm-hmm. There is a plugin which is developed by my friend John Frascos and his business partner called Style Kits for Elementor. And John Frascos is one of my all-time favorite web designers. I mean, the guy I worship. He's brilliant. It was called Analog WP to start off with. It was just basically like a template library, just a plug-in template library. But it's developed into basically like a global styling system for Elementor. So you can set like, you know, column spaces and padding and button styles and just all kinds of things. It's a little bit like CSS. So you can basically set up a style sheet, but with Elementor's controls instead. Yeah, so you don't have to write any code.
Yeah, you don't.
And then you can apply, you can give it a name, and then you can apply that either globally, so everything takes it on, or you can even create multiple style kits, multiple CSS files, I guess, and you can apply them individually to certain pages if you want to apply sort of like different styles. But what I say to people is that if you haven't got the workflow and the mindset in the first place, some people I know start to use style kits. It's becoming really, I mean, he's been developing it now for a while, but people come to style kits and are just completely like, I don't know what to do. I just don't get it. I don't understand. And so people need to kind of like rewind and just do things kind of like simple workflows to start off with, and then start to introduce these other tools. I am going to include in No Stress WordPress, actually, like a little bonus course on using style kits, you know, once the main thing's over, because I think it is potentially, and I've heard little rumors that Elementor themselves are going to be introducing much more kind of robust, comprehensive global styling.
They are new options every day, unlike Beaver Builder, who does it like once in a blue moon. So, but then you know, you mentioned this universal styling panel in the Elementor, but I think nothing of that sort exists in Beaver Builder. So problem solved.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, it's fine. There's nothing really there to speak of in Elementor anyway. So it's so inadequate that it's just not even worth it. So, but then if you just turn that off anyway, and you've not got like a load of theme styles trying to load and a load of Elementor global styles as well, you've just not got that fight between things. But yeah, I keep saying it, but it really is just like a mindset kind of conceptual thing of understanding how everything's put together.
And this is where most people get confused. And I'm sure this is what you're addressing in your course, basically to develop a systemized approach and making sense of, you know, connecting the dots, what means what in your final website. Like if your button styling is coming, you know, you would know that styling is coming from the theme or from some code that you've written or from the element panel, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. This is the one of the problems that I think is a big roadblock for people using these tools is what I call it the fingers crossed trial and error method, right? Which is where there's something wrong, something's the wrong size, the wrong color, the wrong whatever, or somebody wants to achieve something. And it's a case of, well, I'll try that. Oh, that's not worked. I'll try that. That's not worked. I'll try that. And it's just this frustration of these failed, it's like a litter of failed experiments of settings and things all over the place, and none of them work. And understanding just where things are coming from. Oh, that's coming from the theme. It must be, because I know how it works. You know, it's, you can't underestimate that simple understanding, how it just makes everything easier.
Yeah, coming from the theme, unless Elementor pulls a surprise on you.
Exactly.
So besides this adventurous use of color, fonts, options, what are a few other common workflow mistakes users do while using page builders to build websites?
There are quite a lot, actually. I think, that is really the big thing, is like not considering setting styles in the first place in the most easily maintainable global way possible. So that is really a big thing. I think several other things, people using what I always talk about, these are just terms that I've invented. They're not real terms, but like the difference between what I call standalone content and template driven content, which is just basically the fact that page builders allow us to create standalone pages, you know, like a home page or a landing page, where you literally, you just edit the canvas, you know, and just put whatever you like, wherever you like, and that's it. I've seen people who will create one page, then they've got another page, which is basically identical apart from the content. You probably know where I'm going. You know, they might have 10 pages on the site. They might have like a section of the site dedicated to their services, the business's services, for instance. And they're all the same layout, but people will just like duplicate that page and duplicate that page and duplicate that page, and therefore have a maintenance nightmare in future because they're all completely separate.
Yeah.
Other things like just not using templates in the most efficient way. So by templates, I don't mean the theme templates, like single templates and archives and things, but actually using Elementor's library to reuse stuff in a, just, I mean, I was going to say in an intelligent way, but just, you know, in a way that's just not kind of reinventing the wheel all the time. So there are ways of creating kind of common elements that mean that you don't have to kind of keep creating things over and over again. You can manage the layout and styles of certain things just in one place for the whole site. I'd say those are really the big problems, really, apart from the styling stuff. Worries me a little bit as well, I think, uh-huh, is, and I think it's a confidence thing people have, but what worries me is people's reliance on more and more add-ons as well.
That's such a topic altogether. The jungle, another chaos domain.
Yeah. I think maybe we don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but there are so many kind of, Elementor is an add-on.
Yeah.
To WordPress, you know, it's a plugin. It's a very, very fully featured plugin, but it's a plugin nonetheless. And then kind of introducing another plugin on top of that plugin, which is dependent on that plugin's features. And
yeah, I'm sure Elementor has a lot of add-ons to the Elementor, like giving you different modules, because I'm not too aware of all those add-ons. And because I can tell you the Beaver example, like the two of them, PowerPack and Ultimate Beaver, you can use either of them. They are solid, but there are people who will ask you, hey, can I use both of them together? And guess what? There's another one. Can I use all three together? And then you scratch your head. Really, you won't do that? It's not technically impossible, but then it's just you are adding more weight to your elephant and your elephant is getting fatter and fatter.
Yeah, exactly. And I would really say to a lot of people, my approach is always like, opt for simplicity as much as you can, you know, especially with all these tools, which all depend on each other. You know, we were talking earlier, actually, weren't we, about like upgrades and sites breaking and people blaming the page builder because the page builder doesn't load, but it's actually because of another plugin that's clashing with that one. And so I think also that is probably one of the other big things, is people kind of overcomplicating things and thinking, well, if I've got 20 widgets, then 50 widgets must be better. You know, it's like, no.
Now you mentioned simplicity and, you know, keeping things simple. Obviously you don't like Hello Theme. So which is your most preferred theme to use with Elementor? Because for me, obviously Beaver Builder, the options are, theme options are kind of similar. Like, but I still end up using Beaver Builder theme. Like it's just a plain Jane theme with just few options that you need, and actually it works really well. I never had to worry that I'm going to update it, something will break. It hasn't broken for the last 3 years, so that's kind of a solid, you know.
Yeah, it should be good.
But what about you when using Elementor? Like, you don't like Hello Theme, so which is your preferred?
It's not that I don't like Hello Theme. It's just at the moment, I just don't think it's a viable option for people because of its complete lack of any kind of theme styling whatsoever. Yeah. You can start to use, you know, tools like style kits for Elementor to work on it. But I must say, I kind of, nothing wrong with the Elementor team. And in fact, I adore the Elementor team. I have, actually have quite a lot of kind of contact with the guys from Elementor. And I'm not suggesting that their theme isn't any good, but I still kind of like the idea of people using themes that are created by theme developers with a lot of experience, because whether you like it or not, we need a theme.
WordPress, because an average user, that theme would be loved by developers, but an average user who actually would form the biggest chunk of Elementor users as of now would want at least option to set like a font style and font size for H1, H2, and even a body font and font weight. That's what Beavable theme gives you. It only gives you the basic styling options, and other options are defined within your, you know, how you use the builder itself. I think that's the point you're mentioning here, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The three themes I said, I always basically recommend one of three. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, please don't get sucked into these kind of themes. I'm not going to mention any names, but people often kind of show me some new themes which are designed to be used with page builders. But they're kind of going back to the bad old days of just, they've got every feature. They've got like a million different slider plugins built in, and it comes pre-built with, like, I don't know, 50 different sort of templates, and it's just a mess. It's just blah. I would say, for different reasons, GeneratePress, which I absolutely love, GeneratePress, still Astra and the Page Builder framework. I think GeneratePress I like because it is super, super simple. It is absolutely rock solid. I mean, Tom Osborne would not release an upgrade to GeneratePress that broke. You know, I've got complete confidence in it. Astra, because it suits probably people who are looking for a different thing. You know, I mean, Astra has got like lots and lots of features, you know.
And the ecosystem is bigger. Even the ecosystem is bigger. They have Astra sites that complements both with Elementor and Beagle Builder.
Exactly. And they've also got a lot of other products and things going on. And, you know, Sujay and his team do an absolutely brilliant job as well. And then the Page Builder framework, David Vongries, I mean,
that's a surprise.
I think it's a great theme. And it's, I sometimes quite like the themes that are produced by a single developer or a very, very small team. And that's their only product. I quite like that sometimes. Yeah.
And they're passionate about it. Like, and it's not eventually about money for them. It's more of like, I want to make it the best one. So they engage with user more. They look for the real feedback, not that slapping of form. Hey, if you're interested after purchase, just fill this form.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the difference between from like when I first started teaching this stuff is that now the choice of theme is less important, because, you know, Elementor has got the Elementor theme builder, which I think is just like the Beaver themer, basically. So you can create any number of different single templates and taxonomy archives and post archives and, you know, headers and footers and alternatives for all of them, as many as you like. And you can set kind of, you know, what they call display conditions, you know, the rules for when different templates are used. And the options are just incredible, really. So my advice is to most people these days is pick from one of those three, and then pretty much just stick to it. You know,
all three works. Actually, I have sites on Astra, Beaver Builder. Obviously, I've not used GeneratePress much, but I've only heard good things about GeneratePress and Page Builder framework. They are really good themes. So
yeah.
Now, you've been using Page Builders for a few years now, like even 2 years can be considered as 10 years in WordPress.
It's a long time in internet years.
Yeah. So if you look back when you started using, you know, the Page Builder, Elementor, or any other for building website, what has been your major additions or deletions in your whole setup of using a Page Builder to build websites? Do you recall something back of your mind, like okay, I've stopped using this, I've stopped this, but I've started using this?
I actually think that really my tools haven't really, my tools or process haven't changed a great deal, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I've personally, and also in what I'm teaching as well, I suppose, I've got far less reliance on the theme. So because of Elemental's theme builder stuff, so kind of don't really need to worry about the theme as much. So I'm using Elementor actually more these days, whereas previously I might have relied on the theme's own kind of post template and the theme's own kind of archive template, because it's just there, it's easier, and you know, I couldn't really override it with anything else. So, but in terms of the rest of the tools, I can't actually think that a great deal has changed, really, which is odd, isn't it? Because there is, you know, thousands of tools come out like every single day, but I find that those kind of really basic tools just work.
So you've not tried new page builders? There's so many of them now.
Yeah, I've tried a few. I mean, there's quite a few come down the pipe, like Breezy, for instance.
Oxygen.
Oxygen, yeah. Yeah, and Oxygen. What I tend to do is, I mean, I am not the guy, because this is my own personality, I think, mm-hmm. more than anything. I am not the guy anybody should look to for like the latest
shiny new objects,
shiny new thing.
If you can only look for vintage stuff, works.
If somebody wants to, you know, kind of get the absolute first look before anybody else at some new page builder or some new tool or some new anything, then there are loads of guys out there who do that really, really well, and I take my hat off to them. But my feeling is that I am more interested, personally. I'm actually not interested in teaching technology at all, right? As in for the sake of it, mm-hmm. you know. I kind of, that wouldn't interest me. I'm more interested in just getting people like the results that they want, you know, to do things quicker or to do things faster or to be able to build websites faster and make more profit or whatever it is. That's actually my interest. The fact that it relies on tech, it just happens to be the case. You know, I could be teaching cooking or decorating or gardening or whatever it is. But so it's the fact that it gets a result. So for me, whenever I'm asked by anybody, like another page builder or a plugin or an add-on or anything, I get asked like all day long. My reaction usually is, I'll check it out. It's fine. But unless that tool had some really significant advantage in terms of the results that it got people, or if it improved their lives like significantly, then I would be really interested.
Yeah,
but having people switch in, come and look at this, no, come and look at this, no, come and look at this, come exactly. and look at this, it's a distraction.
You know, I always say to people, as long as your tool is working at a foundation level, you should stick with it, because there will be few limitations in any tool that you use, so it doesn't matter. So like,
yes,
a lot of my people I know, few of them have switched from BeboBuilder to Elementor. I don't have any that, you know, shine or, you know, urge to switch to Elementor, because I know Elementor has a lot of, you know, it's the ecosystem is bigger, there's more modules and all that, but do I need it? I don't. I actually, what BeboBuilder offers is more than enough for what kind of things I do, because I'm pretty good with code, and also, you know, I can always stitch code here and there to, you know, work for my implementation. So now these were a few problems, the real problems with Page Builder. Let's talk about certain few, maybe called perception problems, like a huge HTML code generated by Page Builder. Oh, it's not SEO friendly. Mm. Obviously the list goes on. Now, I'm sure there are people who come to you and, you know, you build websites using Elementor, or it could be any page builder, not just Elementor. And how do you counter these kind of, you know, reasoning by those people? Or do you even feel like giving an answer to those people? Or just, okay, it's your tool. Well, it's mine.
There is a certain element of that for some of those things, sometimes that you can actually use the tool like more efficiently. So sometimes people are using page builders, for instance, and they're using them kind of in an inefficient way, which is kind of causing problems that you can actually fix, you know. So, but apart from that, it is absolutely the case that any page builder. I think some are better than others. I think Oxygen's really good at its, like, its code.
That's output. A selling point.
It's a selling point, yeah. Yeah, and they do a great job of that. Elementor's output code isn't great at all. It's a, you know, you've got for an image on the page, you've got the image, and then you've got a wrapper, a div around that. You've got a wrapper around that. You've got a wrapper around that. You know,
I always think if they just replace the word Elementor with EL, guess what? How many bytes of data would be saved?
Yeah, that's it. But I tend to say to people that ultimately, a site built with a page builder, all things being equal, will be slower, and you know there will be more code and more resources used
overheads
than if you hand coded that site from scratch or whatever. And that was absolutely the case. But you've got to kind of weigh up the pros and cons. These tools allow you to do these amazing things online. They allow you to have a business online. They allow you to have a freelance web design business, or they allow you to, you know, whatever it is. So I think you've got to kind of weigh up. There is nothing perfect in life. And you learn that, don't you, ultimately, that there is no kind of like perfect situation. So if you want completely squeaky clean code, well, you do that at the expense of being able to use these amazing tools.
Yeah, you need to spend more time there. It's just a trade-off. Like here you're saving huge amount of time. And even when you say the website would be slow, I think there's so many plugins now and optimization techniques, CDN, you know, using cloud hosting and all that, in which you can build a website with the page builder, which is really fast loading and all that stuff. So it's not the end of the world. Like if you're using page builder and everything will be like down and drowsy and sad, no, it won't.
Yeah,
it would be all
there are ways of doing it. And I think as well, especially if just people, and this goes for hand coding, doesn't it, as well? It's exactly the same thing, as long as you keep an eye on certain
Okay, so before we move to the toolbox, one last question. I want to know your view on Gutenberg. Where does it fit in the page builder and non-page builder user ecosystem here? Because I'm really looking forward to Gutenberg. Earlier introduction of Gutenberg was like, it's not for me. But now it's like improving, even though I'm not using it yet, but I do find time and, you know, test what's new. Hopefully they'll put some more shine to it as the WordCamp US comes, because they got a shout from the stage, right? So what's your view on Gutenberg now? Like,
was it, well, I actually sort of generally say to my students that, you know, it is here to stay, and it is only going to develop and become a core part of all of WordPress ultimately. So get used to it. You know, so if you can start to use it for, you know, just currently just the block editor, then try to do so, because it's not going away, and hiding it and, you know, pretending that it's not there isn't going to make it go away ultimately. But I actually, I started using WordPress in like 2008, I think, maybe 2007, something like that. But I kind of flitted between different CMS systems for different projects. I hadn't landed on WordPress, and I used to use one called Craft. Now, Craft CMS is really, it's not very well known, but it's absolutely adored by a small, you know, kind of group of developers. And it had, I think we're going back to 2010 maybe, it had a block system exactly like Gutenberg is now. And it was incredible, because I could set up, and this is, really is how the block editor should be used, I could set up these components that clients could just use. So if I wanted to provide them with a particular kind of like layout to add content in, or I wanted to give them, I don't know, it's hard to explain really, but it was that flexibility on the one hand for the client, but also the flexibility as a developer to provide my client with all kinds of content management beyond just a box to put some text in, you know. It was incredible. So when Gutenberg was actually introduced, my first view was, I like the look of this. And it actually reminds me of what I left behind with Craft. I think we're going to have a few years of struggle with page builders and Gutenberg, just in terms of, in terms of kind of like clashing responsibilities, you know, for content production.
Yeah.
For now, I would actually say to most people who are certainly, you know, using Elementor is, if you're going to be using the block editor for creating content, which is great, no problem, just use it. And yeah, even if you want to be able to create some nice little two column layouts or some, you know.
Because Gutenberg is from WordPress and it would be there. So in the end, everyone knows who will prevail, the big daddy. So you got to fall in line, right? So let's move on and talk about your toolbox. So which are your current five favorite tools that power your online business?
Of my business completely, like as a whole?
Online business?
Yeah, so the actual business itself, I would say, Thrivecart. Love Thrivecart. And it is just the best decision I made to get. It's like the lifetime deal a couple of years ago now.
It's still on lifetime.
It's probably still, yeah, it is actually, isn't it? Yeah, I got in really quick just before they closed it. Oh, it's still there.
No, but now I think the price is really high to what you went into now.
Yeah. I was advised by a really good friend of mine to get in because he said, right now you might use a particular course platform to take sales. You might switch course platforms. You might decide to sell like coaching or events or anything. And you're going to have all these sales and all this data kind of scattered across multiple platforms. So actually run it in one payment system, basically. And then you've got all your customer data in one place. So definitely, definitely that. I have recently, number two, I've just recently started using Basecamp again for project management.
I used to use Basecamp 2, but when they launched Basecamp 3, it was like kind of iffy and the pricing went like, it went up the mountains.
The price is up there at the moment. It's like $100 a month, isn't it? I used Basecamp from day one, like literally day one that they opened in 2004. And then I used it for 10 years. I've most recently gone through Trello, Asana, ClickUp, Monday.com most recently.
Yeah.
And I've recently, just because I've been planning like launches and stuff, I've gone back to using Basecamp. And oh my word, the sense of control and knowing what's going on and everybody understanding what's going on has been just like off the charts. So definitely Basecamp. I'm in Slack all day long with my team, constantly chatting away in Slack, and it's just absolutely invaluable. I use Thinkific as my course platform. I absolutely love Thinkific. And people say, why aren't you using WordPress to host your courses? And I'm like,
I get the same question. I love Teachable. It's my third year and I'm going to stick with Teachable because it works for me.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely. But a hosted course platform that just is just there. There's no performance worries. There's no upgrade worries.
No updates, no security, no server hosting. Yeah. Or you wake in the middle of the night, oh, my server went down.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just trying to think of just like one other thing as well, one other tool that I use a lot. Hard actually to...
Email marketing?
I know what. I've been using as well quite a lot for like live streaming stuff, StreamYard.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm really liking StreamYard.
The beauty of StreamYard, it works.
Yeah, it's in a browser as well. So, because I don't have fancy need for, you know, being able to control multiple kind of camera angles and views and messing about with these little controllers. I don't care. So it's just good. You can send a link to guests and they just join and just log in the browser. Okay.
So which is a recommended web hosting service?
I like Cloudways. Okay. I love Cloudways.
And you were with which hosting before Cloudways? Because Cloudways is a recent one, right?
I've gone through quite a few hosts actually. I used a UK company called Cluck, C-L-O-O-K, for a long time with clients. They were great. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to using SiteGround. SiteGround were awesome in terms of support, absolutely amazing support. But my site went down unannounced with zero warning. We went down three times because of CPU overages. Which I just couldn't figure out, and SiteGround didn't really seem to care. They were just a bit of a shrug. It was like, well, you know, your site will be offline until your next kind of billing cycle. And I can't have that with my business at all. So I moved to use Flywheel for a while. Flywheel were brilliant. Like rock solid. But I ended up using Cloudways from like a recommendation from like loads of different people.
And it's working fine now?
I love it. Absolutely love it. I love the fact that it's, my sites are noticeably faster. I mean, really, so I like went on Cloudways and the back end and the front end are just like, just amazing. I love the control panel. I love the like one click kind of cloning, and I love the fact you can drag a little slider across and increase all your resources and your RAM and your CPU in one go. And I just love all that stuff really. So I moved everything, the ability just to create new sites, new servers, the whole thing. Cool. So
okay, so which is a recommended page builder other than Elementor? I think the answer would be none.
No, if somebody else wanted to, it depends on what you're looking for. I would think if you're looking more for kind of rock solid features and the fact that the thing just will definitely work, like I would go Beaver Builder, definitely.
See, I wanted this answer from you because a lot of people will ask me why you don't use Elementor? Like, do you hate Elementor? I said, I don't hate Elementor. It's just Elementor doesn't fit in my thing. So glad you said that. Hey, here's Dave Foy who loves Elementor, but he doesn't hate Beaver Builder either.
No, God, no, no. And actually, I think Beaver Builder is absolutely like a more solid product. And in some ways, it's probably the better option for developers who want to give their clients the functionality, but without having them break the site. Yeah.
It's been 100% track record for me. Like none of my site has ever broken on Beaver Builder update, but then my, other tool stack is very clean. Like the plugins, I don't use any additional add-ons and, all that new shiny stuff I don't use on my client websites or even my own website. So the next question, recommended email marketing service.
I was the biggest fan of Drip for like 2 years.
Until
Drip,
they also went to the mountains.
I mean, I was kind of like grandfathered in on the price, but the price went right up. But they also shifted their focus away from just bloggers and, people like me just doing like ordinary things.
Just like MailChimp is doing now.
Yeah. They just lost it. They kind of really became like an e-commerce CRM as opposed to an email marketing service. And so I left those. And I currently use ConvertKit. And I'm enjoying ConvertKit. It's nowhere near got the power and features of Drip.
Yeah.
I also hear a lot of, the other things I would say, if you're in the market for a simple, free or very low price email marketing system, go MailerLite. Because MailerLite,
I use it.
Great.
Yeah, I use it. I shifted from MailChimp to MailerLite because MailerLite is sort of like, it's a MailChimp with little steroids. Like it has the basic functionality that you would find on MailChimp, but it has really good automations as well. Like you can taste the blood with automations on MailerLite for sure.
Yeah, I love it. I would highly, highly recommend it. I've got some students that really like MooSend as well, which is like a fairly kind of new
thing. That as well. Like I bought the lifetime deal. It's really good. It's really powerful. But I had a few issues with MooSend, like certain deliverability issues and all that. But their support is really good. They've been helpful. So I have it and I plan to use it. I'm not using it as of now. Like I don't use it for my main email list, but I use it for like not so important email list just to, get the feel of how it works, but their automation is really good. And the UI is really simple. Like, it won't confuse you. It's not fancy, but it's basic looking, but it works. You will easily find all the options you need. And the automations are really good, especially that missed sending option. Like it's there for free as well. Like if someone didn't open your email, you can just tick the button and that email gets sent to that person again with a different title, not the same title, but with a different title so that you can catch the person's attention. So I used to write, hey, did you miss this email? The content is same, it's just the title is different. So these little things does help because it increases your open rate. Yeah, it's really solid. But then when you do a lifetime deal, a lot of spammers come on board and, erode the reputation because email marketing is all about reputation and email deliverability again is based on that. Like if you have more spammers doing it, so kind of iffy part. Whereas MailerLite is very strict because I got rejected the first time I made an account there.
Oh, I know. Lots of people that get rejected. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they said it's their algorithm. Then I emailed them and they said, no, it's their algorithm. Their algorithm is right. You are rejected. And then I reached out to a few people and said, man, you are signing up from India. India is in spam country list, so you won't get into it. So, but I got into it finally. And they're really good. They're really good. Their support is really good. So I actually wrote a human email rather than an automated email. So they replied, which was really good. So the last question, any upcoming tool or service that has caught your attention recently?
Yeah. The big one, the one that has completely blown me away is NitroPack. Have you heard of NitroPack?
Yeah. It's like hosted solution, just like WP Rocket is a plugin, like, but this is like a hosted solution that wraps in everything, CDN. You just name it. It's like no nonsense way of speeding up your website without installing anything. Is that correct?
Yeah. Basically, that's it. It's like, it's a different model to your usual caching plugins or in fact, caching provided by your host as well. It's totally different model, the way that they've done it. And essentially what they've done is said, right, you just plug this in. It is a plugin. You need a plugin to connect your site with their service. But then they just kind of take control of everything.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, well, it is basically like everything is delivered from their CDN. And all of the caching and processing and refactoring of code and everything else is done by them on their servers. And I am blown away really by two things. One, the speed of the sites running NitroPack is it just blows my mind. but also the support is off the charts. I cannot tell you.
You're using it on your main site?
I'm using it on all of my sites at the moment. Okay. Design, Build, Web. I'm using it on the No Stress WordPress site, the No Fear Funnels sales site.
Did you do before or after comparison?
Before and after was amazing. I went from, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the stats are at the moment, but I went from like 3 seconds to 0.8 seconds. I went from a C Google page speed score to an A+.
Awesome.
You know, like 100%. Well, not that is the be all and end all, but it's just utterly incredible. But the support have just been amazing. There's been quite a few things I've spotted that their service broke. So for instance, I put like lazy loading of videos, because I've got videos like galore on my site. And for quite a few people, those videos weren't actually loading. Like they literally just couldn't click the play button. It was just like an overlay of the thumbnail. And they looked into it immediately. And it turned out it was actually a clash with my cookie solution that I'm using, and basically to do with if people haven't chosen to accept the cookies, then
EU problem.
An EU problem, down the EU. But they've just set up this a separate subdomain that would, I can't remember exactly what they said, but they set up a separate subdomain that would be like a cookieless subdomain to initially deliver videos to people who hadn't accepted the cookies or something like that. But they've done that a few times now with various things, and even things that I've suspected have been, so a couple of little things that might have been caused by NitroPack, I've contacted them and they've looked into them and thoroughly investigated, even when it's not even been their fault. It's actually been something else, you know. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Awesome.
And I think for 5,000 optimizations a month, you get it free anyway. So just...
Why not? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not? Absolutely
amazing. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So before we wrap this episode, where can people find you and what you can help people with?
Yeah. Well, my main site is designbuildweb.co. So that's where actually I have neglected my kind of free YouTube videos for some time now, which I need to rectify. I've been very busy this year making courses and stuff. But so Design Build Web is like my main home. There's a Facebook page is Design Build Web. Twitter is Design Build Web. And that's where you can get free videos, free Elementor stuff. I am going to be very soon starting up like much more kind of free content again. I've neglected it a bit, but I want to I want to do much more than just teaching people how to do stuff in Elementor. I've got some really, really good ideas. But yeah, and I also have two courses. There's No Stress WordPress, which teaches people how to build full WordPress sites. And then there's No Fear Funnels, which teaches people more about building funnels and marketing and sales psychology and all that kind of thing. So
awesome. So No Stress. Thank you so much for your time, Dave, for recording this episode. Have a good day.
No worries. It's been a pleasure, Devinder. Thank you.
You can join the free Web Creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.